Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, the podcast for embedded Linux developers.
Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys. My name is Maciej Halas. I'm with the product management team here.
Hi, and I'm Gene Sally.
Today we're going to cover the evaluating Linux topic. Well, we were trying to come up with the right name for this podcast, but none seemed to be right. So, in general, how to evaluate Linux?
Yeah, I know we probably spent more time figuring out what to call it than the topic. So, I hope that doesn't come through for the rest of the episode, but it probably will. But we want to talk about if you're considering using Linux, what sort of steps you need to go through in order to make a fair decision and to pick the right technology, or to figure out if Linux is right for you at all. Because it may be that Linux is not the right solution for you, and you probably should be using something else or need to use something else. Mm-hmm. And I know when we were talking about this, there's all kinds of different angles which you can approach the problem from. I know Maciej was looking at it from a system perspective. And then there's user land issues, and then there's hardware issues and peripheral support issues, and then there's also an interesting notion of, well, it depends on even what kind of group you have, because a lot of the customers I deal with, Maciej deals with, are some of our larger enterprise customers, but a lot of customers I deal with are smaller shops, 5 or 10 people that are working on a project. And it's substantially different than if you're starting to evaluate Linux if your project is halfway through and you have a team of 50 or 60 or 100 folks.
Exactly. So depending on the stage that the customer is in with the project, I would identify several starting points. So there are people that don't have a hardware. They try to understand whether hardware that they are looking at will fit their project needs. Mm-hmm. And they know that they want to use Linux. The second group is a group of people that is in the process of building a platform or the application. They know exactly what the requirements are in terms of the specific device drivers that they want to see, that they want to use, specific applications or user land packages that they want to make available to their customers. So their approach to the entire evaluation process would be completely different. So the depth of how well they want to investigate the Linux functionality on the specific platform would vary.
Yeah, and so a lot of that boils down to, see, even if you take it from different approaches, a lot of that boils down to understanding your requirements.
Yes.
I know that's a boring word for folks in software. It makes you think of the QA guy and stuff. But, the requirements are, understanding those and at least getting them down to a certain point on paper, helps you frame the rest of your rest of your evaluation, and it can even help you set some reasonable goals. Because mm-hmm. I know one of the things that we were talking about was, if you're going to evaluate something, you should at least have some sort of goal. And so when you think about your requirements, some of them are fairly obvious. You have things like, well, I have this amount of hardware, and I need to get something to fit in this amount of space. So I have a certain flash constraint or something. Or you may be price constrained with respect to the processor you can put on the board. So you can only afford so many megahertz, for battery reasons or for cost reasons. And then you also have less hardware constraints, but more user land or application constraints, like it must behave this way, or it must have this certain sort of GUI. Or I need a certain level of sampling, or if it's going into something that supports a particular kind of network, it has to obviously support that network protocol. Mm-hmm. We have customers use CAN bus, and so for them, it doesn't matter. Well, I say it doesn't matter, but supporting CAN bus is of such great importance that if it doesn't do that, you could have the greatest Linux in the world or greatest other operating system in the world, but if it can't talk over the network, it's not mm-hmm. it's not a useful solution.
And for most customers that go through the evaluation process, the starting point is really the bootloader. How can they get even any Linux solution up on the target? And in most cases, the companies, the manufacturers of boards that customers use or customers themselves, they do have some sort of bootloader that they can deploy very quickly on the platform. But people that are new to a platform, people that have never done that. That step might be a bit challenging because it involves a very low-level hardware adjustment to the bootloader and very frequently a procedure that is custom and that really is designed to that particular platform.
Yeah, but haven't most board vendors solved the Linux bootloader problem? I don't run across. Does that still crop up in a lot of cases where you know there isn't quite the bootloader support that's necessary, or there's work that needs to go, engineering work that needs to go into having that happen?
Well, no, I think that the bootloaders that are out there today, from the completeness standpoint, they are ready, and companies can or customers can very quickly adopt them. For the even custom platforms, but as you mentioned, a lot of board vendors solve that problem by providing a bootloader already pre-flashed on a card.
Oh, okay.
Now, very frequently there is a question whether one type of bootloader can run multiple operating systems, as board vendors tend to support more than one operating system.
Yeah.
And for that reason, some boards come without a bootloader. Some boards come with more than one bootloader. And
So then you need to go through the process of actually getting the bootloader on the board.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we have a couple. I mean, it's not that dumb, but I know we have a couple boards that, and to me, it's always sort of hair-raising to get that set up correctly. I always feel like I'm one step away from ruining whatever this piece of equipment is. Which is kind of, it's a good feeling. It's not a bad feeling, but I just feel like I'm always one step away from.
As long as you know how to recover from any bad steps that you make.
Yeah, that I don't know. That's probably the most of the problem.
But that's why we are here, and that's why we spend a lot of time helping customers out in this kind of situations.
But there's all this. I mean, I guess on the other side of evaluating Linux, or even in the general case, there's also everything that happens out there in user land, right? Or post kernel boot, right? So, the right sort of software drivers, the right sort of init setup, right sort of graphics. I mean, those are all things that are. Well, I wouldn't say they're as important because, of course, if your board isn't booting, chances of you running Linux on it are very low. Mm. Chances of running anything on it are very low. But there's also the great stuff that's happening out there in user land. With respect to getting your root file system set up correctly and making sure it can be of reasonable size and getting your tool set up. I mean, there's like a modeling activity there that's a project in and of itself.
True. However, there's, I guess, a difference in putting requirements on root file system up front in the evaluation phase. It does happen for larger customers where let's say there are several teams in a company, and one team has to evaluate the level of support for different peripherals and root file systems that they could eventually provide to another team within the same company. In most cases that we've seen, customers that get some sort of packages from TimeSys evaluation package. They're interested in getting Linux up and running very quickly on the card. They're not interested in investing a lot of time. They want to see that yes, Linux kernel runs. Device drivers that I'm interested are there. I can query them using a standard kernel procedures. I can basically, it gives them a comfort in deciding whether this particular solution, this particular Linux component is helpful and is going to add value in their project.
Because it's an interesting thing you point out, because I know I'm more of the kernel land guy in all this. I'm kernel land, the user land guy in all this stuff. But, it's almost like a fork presents itself, right? So mm-hmm. On one side of the fork is will the Linux support the devices on my board? Right? Mm-hmm. And the other side of the fork is sort of the way I'm looking at this problem is, can I get my application to run adequately on the board? Because for a lot of things, not everything, but for a lot of things, the API is uniform, whether you're working on an embedded board or not. So it's conceivable, right, from a evaluating Linux standpoint, that you can use a desktop system as a proxy for your board. You know, if you have software you need to port, if you have, let's say if you're interacting with some standard type devices like a serial device or USB device, you could conceivably hook that right up to any old desktop PC and work with it in the same way you'd work with the peripheral once it's deployed on the Linux board. So from an evaluating perspective, that's an interesting fork.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point, Gene, because people that really want to evaluate Linux from the application standpoint, they can do far more in less time by just using a desktop machine. Mm-hmm. Because as you pointed out, the API is very similar, or actually the same, given standards like POSIX and all mm-hmm. That saves them time from having to build a root file system, making sure that API that they want to use for their application is in place. Because mm-hmm. I don't know of any single evaluation product that would be complete, that would provide all the necessary APIs for all applications that customers want to evaluate, that can think of. So
yeah.
Given that desktop machines, desktop distributions come with almost all of those APIs, and managing those APIs is fairly simple. That actually is a very good approach for application developers.
Yeah, and what it does is it deserializes the effort involved in seeing if the Linux kernel will run on the target board. I know for some boards, depending on how they're supported, getting the Linux kernel to boot, I wouldn't call it a trivial effort, but it involves substantially less effort than if you had to do some poking around to see if the kernel would even run. But that's even yet a different question from when the applications will go. And so, or if you can get the right versions of software. Because one of the interesting things that you think about it, that we talked about at the beginning, was it's not only what you want to do, but the team and your mm-hmm. team configuration. Because just because you can happen to get the right, if you have a team of 100 people with a project that's already rolling around, you need a very specific version of a certain library, and that's the requirement. And that's a lot different than saying, well, I can live with any libpng. I mean, that's I can, whatever you have for XML parsing is fine with me. I can adapt from that point forward, and that's a lot different than saying I need to get this particular library cross compiled to run on this particular board.
And another angle to actually distinguishing those two paths is that, system developers. Well, mm-hmm. so I would say that there are system developers and application developers, and their evaluation needs are somewhat different. In the case of system developers, they would look at more on what are device drivers that they have to provide to application developers. But also, they would be interested in the development environment and other components that would facilitate application development or deployment by other teams. Mm-hmm. So they would evaluate Linux from standpoint not only of device drivers and Linux kernel completeness for the specific hardware, but they would also evaluate Linux or Linux components from a specific source, from a standpoint of how easy it is to create a development environment that is transferable, a development environment that can enable other teams within the same organization to do higher level development. Also, they will be interested in some sort of procedures or tools that would allow them, system developers that is, to can the solution somehow. So that when they pass it on to other teams, other application developers, they don't have to do that on a piece by piece basis. They just provide all the pieces together, and they can just say, "Well, this is your development platform, development environment in which you can evaluate your application at first, but then move further in the development process.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing that I sort of, I guess, glazed over at the beginning, and that is, it's not just the technical things you need to evaluate, but it's, you know, will Linux, or can the Linux tools I'm interested in doing, or the approach I'm taking, fit into whatever process I happen to have at this at the same run? Mm. Because it's not as though, I mean, Linux is a technology, but it also does affect how you do things. And, you know, if you have an environment where you have a very strong separation between what happens in operating system versus what happens in user land, then you'll find yourself going down the path of figuring out how you can make that separation a reasonable thing to do. Mm-hmm. Well, if you work in an organization that is more, it's just a smaller organization that has less specialization, you're going to look more along the lines of, you know, how can I almost avoid that separation, because that's extra work. And understanding what Linux can do for you, or understanding what you can do with Linux, I think it's the right way of saying it, so that you can minimize those sort of risks that are involved there as well.
How much time do you think people are willing to spend in the evaluation process? Well,
that's interesting, because it's really interesting to bring that up, because I think what you have is some interesting behavior, right? So some of the behavior you have right off the bat is you have people, interesting by this, because there's it's not a smooth, it's not linear, right? Mm-hmm. So you have some people, or a reasonable segment of the population, that at first glance are unwilling to spend more than an hour. And it seems sort of odd for such a big step to do, for a big change in your development environment, to only want to spend an hour. But they'll want to spend an hour, and they'll do what I would call advanced tire kicking. And they just want some sort of validation that it's even worth looking more, which is a reasonable thing. Although in some embedded situations, it's sometimes very unreasonable, because with the bootloader issues and the other sort of, you know, hardware-specific issues you run into, there's no way you could do that quickly. Mm-hmm. And which leads some people down the path to believing the entire process is difficult, because they have this initial expectation that I can, like, it's a commercial piece of software where you can, you know, sort of take out a CD and click the mouse button and have it function. And that's simply not the nature of any sort of embedded operating system, Linux or otherwise. And those folks that are the one-hour folks are probably people that are new to embedded Linux. I mean, they're probably experienced Linux engineers, but they're new to embedded Linux. And they have this expectation that things should work quickly, rapidly for them right off the bat with this board. And when they don't, there's almost a rejection, a little frustration, or they don't believe it's worth spending the next 4 hours or 2 hours or 10 hours or 100 hours to figure out what they really need out of the software.
But I think that also teams that know Linux tend to spend initially an hour with the software just to make sure. Well, for example, scenario where company A works on a project and then has a different project coming on a completely different platform, but utilizing the same Linux components, like application perhaps. So team understands precisely the requirements that application imposes on a operating system. They are knowledgeable as to what they can do with Linux, but they don't want to invest any time into getting the Linux kernel up and running on a specific hardware. So those teams would usually just boot the kernel, Linux kernel, up on a card to see, okay, we have access to components like Linux kernel, toolchains for that kernel, root file system packages, and root file system packages that our application will need, uclibc, glibc, all that. They'll look at the entire offering, mm-hmm. entire, you know, set of Linux components, but the time that they would spend with the kernel on the platform would be very minimal. They would just probably bring up Linux kernel on the platform, they would make sure that the kernel's got the right components in it, and then move on. I mean, because it's a very involving step for a company to really make sure that the new platform is going to perform the required functions at the required quality in just a few hours. And that usually involves, man weeks, man months, perhaps, and development. But that initial engagement with Linux would be, I would say, probably even less than an hour.
Yeah, and that's, in a way, that's a little bit frustrating. But the thing you find is that folks that are experienced with Linux, so if engineers or companies or organizations that have used Linux in a prior project, have a completely different evaluation scenario, because right off the bat, they understand that there's very little information they can get in an hour, right? And they're also more tolerant of the risks that are involved. Some of the evaluations we run across when people evaluate Linux is they expect to take all the risk out in their evaluation. And in doing that, that's a very admirable goal. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's a great goal. However, what happens is they don't realize that that means they're going to be engineering the project. So it's
yeah, but that varies greatly again with the experience. Mm-hmm. The more experienced users, as you said, would most likely understand what other things they would have to do to that specific Linux code to get it adopted to a specific project that or requirements that they have in front of them.
Yeah.
Whereas people that are new to Linux or Linux and platform, mm-hmm. They would most likely want to understand those risks, right? But
yes.
Eliminating them, it's another topic.
Yeah. Well, that sort of gets back to it. I know we talked about at the beginning, and I hope it didn't get lost in all the sidetracks we got off. But at the beginning was, taking some time, and just have to be a great big formalized document with slides and whatever else, but formalizing the requirements you want out of your evaluation. Even if it's as simple as saying, I want my board to boot, I want this library to compile, and I want these versions of Hello World to compile and to be able to run on the board. And by Hello World, I don't necessarily mean Hello World out to the console, which is not interesting, but if you're going to be using something like USB, you may want to, communicate to a target device over USB and print something out on the other, get a packet to across and agree that that works. Or if you have certain needs out of the network stack, your little sample application may be something that compiles and sets up a listen and, waits for incoming connections and behaves a certain way. Or if you know you're going to need an HTTP server on your device, well, you may want to try to get a small one of those just up and running. Serving a sample page that says "Hi, I'm here," mm-hmm. and I think by doing that at the onset, at least you're drawing a box around what you expect out of the system, and that way when 7 hours have passed and you've checked one item off, you sort of get it becomes very apparent that you're going to have to spend another 40 hours to then finish off your list, and then things are a little bit more manageable. Your expectations are set correctly.
Yeah, I noticed actually the same thing, Gene, working with customers that have those expectations, put down on paper in bulleted list, helps both them and companies like TimeSys in providing first on our part the right components, but on the customer side just save time. Because they can find out very quickly, device drivers A, B, and C are there, they are working, I can check them off and move on to the next step, and which would be recommending probably a specific solution or board to a manager for the next project.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you have something as simple, because it's great because we have some folks that have their requirements are, I need to get something to fit in N meg of flash. Doesn't matter what the number is. Of course, if it's some number less than one, you're gonna have problems, right? But it doesn't really matter what the number is, but they have a number, they have a target. And those are folks that are at least able to do a swag on the software and say, okay, well, right off the bat, I'm able to get it to 110% of my target. And I really haven't put any effort into it. Mm-hmm. So from an evaluation perspective, I believe that I can do the rest of this myself. And that's fantastic, because then they're able to focus on the items that are of value to them.
Yes, and putting together that list would help also in communication in the sense that if the, some of the requirements that customer has for evaluation are unreasonable, like for example,
don't have unreasonable requirements.
Well,
never happens.
Never happens, right?
Never happens.
But once you actually have that down on paper and you talk to a source where you get the packages or Linux components from, you can very quickly understand whether the requirement that you have for the evaluation is reasonable or not. Assuming that you have certain time period for that evaluation. And usually when you get an evaluation, both you have some timing requirements, but also there are some constraints on the how long you can use different Linux components or support for that matter from a Linux vendor.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So I think that covers up. I think it covers what we want to talk about.
Yeah, we talked about multiple angles to evaluation, I think. And I'm not sure if we covered everything, but if there are any other angles that you, our listeners, can think of, please do let us know. We are very much interested in this kind of things as we try to improve also what we offer to customers through Linux Link.
Yeah, and if you have some evaluation war stories, I'd love to hear them. You know, I deal with customers frequently, and I'm always amazed in a good way of the different attacks and approaches people take to figuring out if Linux is the right thing for them. You know, even if they don't end up buying the product, you know, buying from us, but just deciding that, hey, Linux is what I want to use. And I'd be thrilled to hear, you know, what you guys are up to, doing the same thing for your companies.
So with that, if you have any comments, questions, please contact us at podcast@timesys.com. That's the best place to communicate with us, mm-hmm. the best way.
There's also a feedback button. I think on the not a button, but on the bottom of the page where we have our podcast hosted, there's a link you can leave us some feedback there as well. I know either place will read it and get mm-hmm. back, but we notice people tend to be preferring the email address at podcast@timesys.com.
And using this opportunity, I would like to also mention or ask you, listeners, to check out our new website or improved website at lldn.timesys.com. We have made some modifications to how you can interact with Linux Link, so would like to invite you to check it out.
Yeah. Stop by. So, again, thanks, and look forward to next episode.
This podcast was brought to you by TimeSys. Check out our new site to get free code, discuss, and learn about embedded Linux development. Go to timesys.com today.